Let's go.
The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter with Adrian Jackson and David Parkinson.
We are back talking rugby league on the final hooter. Thank you very much to Radio General, the sound for Warrington Hospital, for letting us use the studio. It is the podcast for loverugbyleague.com. He's Dave Parkinson.
I am.
I'm Adrian Jackson.
You are.
We are talking rugby league.
We are.
And we're finally done and dusted with the league season.
How did that happen so quick?
So many games, so many talking points, so much action. It's all been settled.
It certainly
London,
has.
One game too far for them in round 29.
They were very plucky throughout the season, weren't they, London Broncos?
Made it interesting, the relegation scrap, didn't they?
A bit more than interesting, to be honest. A bit more interesting even than the previous incarnation of rugby league, where we had the middle eights, wasn't it?
And we finally found out who is joining St Helens in the playoffs and who finished where. So top five of St Helens, who's been there all season, mm-hmm. at Wigan, coming in off the rails to claim second spot.
That's amazing that they've got second.
Salford amazingly getting third.
That's an even bigger story for me. That.
Yes, and disappointingly, Warrington finishing fourth in a two-horse race.
Yeah, ironic that.
And Castleford doing enough to get the better of Hull FC to claim the last spot. What a disaster for Hull FC not to make the playoffs.
I agree with you, yeah. And I think that, he's been there a long time now, hasn't he?
Six years next week.
So happy anniversary, Lee.
Happy anniversary, Lee.
Will you actually make it to that sixth year? That is the big question that everybody in rugby league is asking, aren't they?
Well, I was on the way back from Hull on Friday after the Saints game. I was saying to my co-commentator, John Lawless, I'd be amazed if he's the coach at the start of the season.
Can I ask, what was the general feeling amongst Hull fans? Was it a bit of an underwhelmment in the stadium?
Not at the start, because obviously the team still had a lot to play for. They had to win that game, didn't they, really, to snatch it back off Castleford. But once St Helens took full control, and you always knew the Saints weren't going to let it go, a lot of the fans became a bit disillusioned, to say the least, but they did stay around to clap them off at the end.
I can understand it as well, because, I mean, we've often spoken about how good a club Hull is. You know, they're in a fantastic rugby league city where rugby league is at its very heartbeat, isn't it?
It is.
It seeps its way through the pores of everybody that you speak to from a Hull point of view.
East or West Hull.
East or West, doesn't matter your persuasion. They just love the rugby league. So I find it quite ironic and quite sad, really, that a place which is so steeped in rugby league just can't seem to get in this top five. It is an absolute travesty that team has not ended in that top five.
It's a disappointment, I say that for him. Will Lee Radford be the coach for next season? Possibly.
Personally,
he's got a massive... if he is, or whoever comes in, if Hull do get fed up and decide enough's enough, 6 years in the job, missed out on the playoffs, whoever comes in has got a big rebuilding job because they've released 10 players.
Yeah, 10 players and, some fair names amongst that lot as well. You know, I noticed Westerman's one of the 10, isn't he?
Cello's retired. Sikamani retired.
Washbrook is apparently off to pastures new. And
two players swapping the West Hull for East Hull.
Jez Litton.
Wow. Hadley.
And Hadley as well, yeah. And Logan as well, who came through their academy system, sadly not being allowed to stick around. Although, to be fair, he has been there about 5 or 6 years now, so they've decided to move him on.
Listen, we come back at the start of next season and Lee Radford is the coach. Well, I do apologise, and I'm sure I know nothing about rugby league.
Can we actually record a little bit where we praise Lee Radford to the hilt? You know, or does that make us two-faced if we do that?
Maybe.
Because maybe we were talking about him not being there. But I think he's going to make it. I think he's going to make it to next season. And you know what? They'll win the grand final next season. How about that?
That's a big statement. Massive statement. Anyway, we know who the top five is. We know we got relegated. Hull Kingston Rovers under Tony Smith. Just doing enough.
Just about.
And Tony was not happy, was he? He's not happy about this promotion relegation saga.
Did you notice, though, it was the same scoreline as it was in the £1 million game between those two clubs a couple of years ago?
Mm.
Wow. But yes, Tony being very outspoken, as per usual, when it comes to the whole topic of promotion
relegation. He's never
been
a fan of promotion relegation.
No.
Not when his team's involved, anyway.
No. He first reared that debate, didn't he, when Huddersfield got relegated?
Yes.
Funnily enough, under him.
And then he did it when Warrington ended up in the Super 8.
Did he actually say anything when Huddersfield got promoted the year after they went down, though?
No.
I can't recall him actually saying it was a bad idea.
You know what? I don't recall him actually saying anything when Warrington were at the top of the shop.
No. No, I don't. So it seems to be he's got a collective memory, as our Tony.
Yes.
As much as I respect the bloke and the fact that he has won trophies and he's an institution, really, in Warrington, isn't it?
He is.
But, you know, Tony, you're making yourself sound like a buffoon, man. Stop it going on about relegation.
Anyway, let's talk about the championship now, because the top five for that was sorted out as well. We know Toronto.
Hang on. Just one more thing.
Go on.
One more thing regarding Super League.
What?
We must congratulate St Helens, by the way.
Yeah, well done.
St Helens have finished 16 points clear of
a record collection of points, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think the last time a team was that far in front was Wigan, when they were the only full-time team in rugby league back in sort of the mid to late 80s. So, you know, well done to them.
Why are you just reminding me about the Saints? It'd be a travesty if they don't get to Old Trafford and win it.
It would. Now, would that mean that Justin Albrook's been a complete failure?
Will be, won't it?
Because they've only, I said only, won two league trophies.
Yeah, but they've not won the main event.
But the main
they?
Event, yeah. And every time they've come up in a main event game, they've let themselves down, haven't they?
The only good thing about if they do get to Old Trafford, because obviously now they've got to get past Wigan in round... No, it's not Wigan, is it? They've got a week off, and then they play the winners of Wigan and Salford.
They do.
To get to Old Trafford. And then they might play Wigan in the grand final again. Right. So, yeah, if they do lose that game...
Okay.
You can't remember what your point was now.
You look like you're doing a calculation in your head there, mate.
I had an idea in my head, it's gone.
Well, if they lose that game, they get a second bite of the cherry, don't
they?
Yeah,
we? I know that, yeah. That's what I was going to say.
Was that what
yeah.
you're on about?
No, what I was going to say was, at least if they do get to Old Trafford, it's not going to be like 100 degrees like it was at Wembley.
Ah, right.
That's my point, because you know for a fact, grand final night, it's always raining.
It's going to be raining, it's going to be about 80 degrees, and yeah. everybody will be getting all the woolies on, won't they?
Mm. So at least then they'll have a better chance of winning it rather than wilting in the heat of Wembley like they did against Warrington.
Will they? Because they've been throwing the ball about a bit this season, haven't they? You know, they're going to have to adapt, aren't they? And we've all seen in the past teams adapt better to that wet weather style.
Right, talking about things to be sorted out as well in the Championship, we knew about Toronto already being in, doing the St Helens basically, weren't they? Walking all the way to get their hands on the Silver Salver. Joining them, though, in the last... places for the playoffs. We didn't know who was going to finish where, but yep. it was a right frantic effort to get there, wasn't it? We ended up with Lee being in there, Featherstone, York and Toulouse.
Yeah, special mention for Toulouse, by the way. I mean, they've scored, what, nearly 900 points over the course of the season, only bettered by Toronto in the division. You know, so a super effort from them. The defence has also been a real high point as far as Toulouse is concerned. York, how fantastic
what a season.
Have they been?
I don't know which is the best story, Salford or York.
Oh, I mean, both of them are brilliant stories, aren't they?
Yeah.
But if Carlsberg could do a rugby league season...
Other beers are available, by the way.
Definitely. But if Carlsberg could do a rugby league season,
yes.
it would include success for Salford and for York.
Getting relegated from the Championship, Rochdale, it's always sealed for them, wasn't it? Not good enough this season for Rochdale. They've got to come back bigger and stronger.
They've almost got the exact opposite run. As Toronto, by
yeah,
the way.
Yeah, they have, haven't they? And Widnes just did enough to stay ahead of Barrow, so Barrow relegated to League One. And they've been replaced by Whitehaven. Well done to Whitehaven to lift the that very stylish fruit bowl.
It's a stylish trophy. Yeah,
it is.
Often
the
got
old
given
championship
out.
Trophy lifted by the League One winners.
The old Division Two trophy it was. But yeah, fantastic piece of silverware. Great story this, by the way, as well about Whitehaven, because just a couple of years ago, they were really brassic, weren't they?
They were.
Rubbing two pennies together, hoping that they'd come up with a couple of quid, and they've managed to keep on going. They've gone right back to basics there. They've signed a load of local lads who seem to have really gelled and well played Whitehaven.
Oh, I love it when they go back to basics. Bring out the Cumbrians.
I tell you what, you can't complain.
Rough and
Cumbrian
tough. Rough and tough, proper Cumbrian.
Just do that again.
No.
That was like, he was like a bad guy from a Spider-Man film.
Yeah, so well done to Whitehaven. They've already took their place in the Championship for next season. So they got, they can put the feet up and watch Oldham, Newcastle, Doncaster, and Workington go fight it out for the right to join them in the Championship.
That's right. Obviously, Workington defeated Hunslet to knock them out of the competition last weekend.
Did they?
They did.
It's good job you know your stuff.
I do know my stuff. I've got to know my stuff.
You do, yeah.
Keeping you up to date with everything Rugby League. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General. Keeping you up to date with everything Rugby League. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Okay, you put me right. Hunslet are in the playoff places as well. And we had the first round of the playoffs for League One and the Championship. Who got knocked out and who lives to fight for another day?
Well, we saw an elimination final in League One between Hunslet and Workington. Workington Town going there, doing the job, winning by 32 points to 24.
Well done.
Brilliant effort from Sean Penkovic, the evergreen Sean Penkovic.
How old is Sean Penkovic?
Nobody knows. He's like a great oak.
Is he like the modern day Stanley Dreamer? No one knows his age.
Yeah, I think someone's in his birth certificate, to
he's
be honest.
He's been around for
years. He has, Two tries he scored.
Wow.
Also as well, the evergreen Green, Fooey Fooey My My getting
Fooey,
over
Fooey
the try
still
line.
Knocking about. I thought he retired.
No. He's having a real renaissance there in Cumbria. Six goals as well from Cal Farber, who we heard from earlier in the year, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, good result that against Hunslet. Hunslet will be a little bit disappointed. They saw a couple of tries from Ashton, with Sanderson also chipping in on the act with four goals. But disappointing end to the season for them. Maybe they would have been expecting a little bit better. There was a qualifying final also in League One. Doncaster defeated Newcastle Thunder.
Good result that for Donny.
Massive. 20 points to 61. Defence orientated game. Very, very close throughout. Just 8-0 at half time, by the way, to Doncaster, who again had to rely on the try scoring prowess of Tarley, the centre. He is a phenomenal talent in League One. And they had a runaway try from Matty Crimes as well, who once upon a time represented England students.
So what happens in the next round of the playoffs then?
So the next round of the playoffs, it sees, well, first of all, Hunslet are out. Their season's over with. They went on their Mad Monday celebrations.
Yes.
So Workington go forward. They'll take on Newcastle Thunder. Loser goes home. It's the end of their season then.
Mm.
And then in the qualifying final, this one's going to be on your Our League app this coming weekend. Oldham take on Doncaster.
Oh, what a game that's going to be.
It is going to be a close
Oldham
one.
Oldham are on fire since Scott Naylor has said I'm going at the end of the season.
And to be fair, I know we were commenting about Lee Radford having been at Hull for a long, long while. Arguably, Scott Naylor has been at Oldham for just as long. I think it's six or seven seasons there now. So, you know, he's decided that he's going to call it quits.
I wonder where he's going to go.
I don't know, but he's I've seen a little piece with him which says he's not sure whether to celebrate it or commiserate it in either two or three games' time. It depends on how things go. So that was League One done and dusted. In the qualifying final in the Championship, so this was between second place Toulouse Olympique and the York City Knights. Toulouse Olympique won by 44 points to 6, obliterated York City Knights.
I thought York would have put up stiffer opposition than that.
I've got to be honest though, I mean, this game was played in heats that was kind of mid-30s, so, you know, when you're a lad from York, you're not used to those side type of temperatures for playing rugby league.
You're a lad from Lee. How did you cope? You were over there.
I was all right. I was up in the back of the stand.
Oh, you were in the shade?
Yeah, I was in the shade with plenty of water. So, you know, I had an excuse, to be fair.
Okay.
There's no hiding place for those York lads. To be fair, though, I thought that they did try throughout, but they just came up against a Toulouse side that the mixed structure with off the cuff rugby and punishing defence. Mark Carella had the game of a lifetime once again. 20 points he scored, two blistering tries, kicked six goals, and set two tries up as well. He is a one heck of a player.
I've said about him, best fullback outside the Super League.
Then action moved over to the Sunday Betfred Championship elimination final.
What a game
final.
This was.
Somebody was going to go home. It was Lee Centurions taking on Featherstone Rovers, and Featherstone Rovers won through. A brilliant performance from them. I've got to be honest, I thought that they had it sewn up at half time when they were leading 14 points to 4 because they dominated for such large periods of the first half, hadn't they?
For some reason, Lee just couldn't handle the Chisholm, could they?
Yeah.
Dane Chisholm just cut them to pieces every time.
Lee got themselves back into it, but then as soon as Chisholm and McClellan started getting their hands on the ball again midway through the second half, they just took it away. And you know, well played to Featherstone. I thought the youngster Sutcliffe out in the centres had a big game, scored a couple of really smart tries. Walters, we all know what he can come up with. He scored a try in a Super League Grand Final, hasn't he? So, you know, Featherstone were much, much better on the day and deservedly went through, while Lee went to enjoy their Mad Monday celebrations.
I'm sure they enjoyed it, no matter where they went. But hard lines to those, and well done to the teams that stepped forward to take a step closer to a possible Super League place.
Yeah, two more games this weekend at Championship level. We have York City Knights. Rewarded, obviously finishing third, you get a second bite of the cherry.
You do, yeah.
So rewarded with a home tie against Featherstone Rovers, but they're going to have to watch out in that one.
What a game that's going to be.
That's on Saturday over at Bootham Crescent. Get yourself over there if you can. And then for me, this could be
This is the game of all games.
Toronto Wolfpack hosting Toulouse Olympique. And you know something, Adrian? I reckon if Toronto go with the idea that they're going to touch up Toulouse Olympique, they could be on the end of a shellacking, to be fair.
Well, if they get beat, it's not the end of the road, is it? They get another bite of the cherry, if Toronto lose that game.
So as does Toulouse as well.
As will Toulouse as well. So, I think it's just a case of trying to get some early bragging rights, isn't it?
Yeah, it is really. I mean, it would be great if Toulouse could go over there and win, but they know that they're going to have to come up with a very similar performance in a fortnight's time as well, aren't they?
Yeah.
Because whether we like it or not, the team that's higher up the league, if they qualify, they get to host the grand final, which I find a little bit strange when we've had grand final days in the past, haven't we, and neutral venues. But hey, the rules are the rules and they are what it is. Everyone knew what they were playing for at the start of the season, and it's going to be an interesting slog till the end.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league, this is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Okay, then, that's the action on the field. But off the field this week, the nominations are being revealed for the Championship and League One end of season awards. The Championship and League One's version of Man of Steel, basically. In the Championship, the nominees are Player of the Year, Andy Akers from Toronto, Gareth O'Brien, Toronto, John Wilkin, Toronto.
Did you see anybody else? Are these people who's nominated it just been watching Toronto all season? Don't get me wrong, they have been awesome. They have been awesome. All three of them deserve to be nominated.
Young Player of the Year, Matty Ashton, Swinton Lions, yeah. Keenan Brand, Widnes,
yeah.
Joe Cater, Lee Centurions.
All three of them outstanding young prospects. Matty Ashton, of course, we know he's going on to brighter things with Warrington. He signed a contract with them next season. Keenan Brand could also be playing inside that winger, couldn't he, Ashton, because he's been rumoured heavily with going across to Warrington. And Joe Cater is apparently interested in Hull, is such his form.
All right, so he's left Humberside to go lead, and now he
and
may
now they
go
want
back.
Him back. Yeah, now they want him back. But he's been in a brilliant form as Joe Cater. I've seen him a lot more than the other two. Deserves his nomination, a real live wire, jack in a box type forward.
Coach of the Year nominees, Mark Ashton, Sheffield Eagles, James Ford, York City Knights, Brian McDermott, Toronto.
If you're going off kind of resources, then the coach of the year has to be James Ford, doesn't it?
Does.
Because of what he has done, what he's achieved with that side. I wouldn't begrudge Mark Aston getting the trophy as well. Brian McDermott, you look at his star-studded squad, which is easy for me to say, 26 wins from 27 games. He probably deserves a mention as well, doesn't he?
League One Player of the Year nominees, Dion Eyre for Whitehaven.
Good player.
Danny Lantry, Oldham. Nick Newman, Newcastle. Mark Shackley, Whitehaven.
Oh, they've got four. Oh, that's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
How come Championship
Listen,
only had
I
three?
Don't know.
I like this, though, to be fair. So, DNI, good player. Danny Lantry, he went to Hull at the start of the season. Didn't really work out for him there, sadly. Went back to Oldham. He's been phenomenal since stepping back into that red and white jumper of Oldham. Nick Newman, interesting tale about him. He's an Australian. Started off the season with Coventry. Helped them to something like four wins from their first nine games. Then a mid-season transfer to Newcastle. Saw them really establish themselves firmly within the top three. And Shackley. Well, he's led Whitehaven all the time, hasn't he?
Young Player of the Year nominees, Kane Barnes for Workington.
Yeah, ex-Wigan
Andrew
youngster.
Bowman, Whitehaven.
Good
Alex
player.
Alex Clegg, Newcastle.
Oh, he's another good lad, him.
Callum Hazard for North Wales.
Don Jewelredge from St Helens.
And Jacob Jones for the Coventry Bears.
Again, another very fine prospect. Good to see so many young players getting the nomination and the nod there.
Nominees for the Coach of the Year: Gary Charlton for Whitehaven, Anthony Murray for North Wales, Scott Naylor. It's got to be the Naylor, hasn't it?
Ask him in 2 matches time.
League One and Championship Foundation of the Year nominees: Halifax Lee, Newcastle Thunder.
All three of those clubs do some sterling work in the communities, so you know, well done to each of them on the nominations.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league, this is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Anyhow, Parky, away from all that, you were a busy boy at the weekend. You were in Toronto. You were in Toulouse.
I was.
I'm sure you'd like a trip to Toronto with the league app if you want to pay your expenses.
It would be great getting over to Toronto, to be honest. I'm starting to make friends in Canada as well after a couple of dodgy moments on my Twitter account over the course of the year.
So anyway, yes. You backed it up by taking in the Wigan versus Saints women's game.
I did, yeah.
The day after. Hardcore rugby league fanatic you are.
Hardcore. An outstanding effort as well by the St. Helens ladies, who have wrapped up second spot in the championship thanks to a 28-0 defeat of Wigan, the nearest and dearest. Emily Rudge was outstanding, scored a couple of tries, and also, they were just better than Wigan across the park.
After that game, you spoke to Derek Harmon, the Saints coach.
Well, Derek, 28 points to nil. A handsome victory on the scoreboard. I'm guessing you'd be happy with the defensive element. What did you make of the rest of the game?
I thought we defended really well. Again, to score 28 points against any Wigan team for us is, you know, is a real achievement. I just thought we was a bit clunky at times. I spoke to the girls about not letting the occasion get into them. You know, obviously a local derby. But, you know, we did some good things, so, yeah, I'm happy.
Do you put some of that down to the way that Wigan defended, the sort of that frustrating element?
Yeah, I just think that, you know, we need to be smarter with the ball. The problem with us is we're always trying to prove how smart we are rather than doing the hard yards first. And then when it doesn't come off, we start to get a bit frustrated. But, you know, for me, we should just, you know, be able to, you know, be more professional in the way we attack teams like Wigan.
You've recently had Emily Rudge nominated for Woman of Steel. I think she backed it up with that performance today. I thought she was very strong on the edge.
Yeah, Rudge is outstanding. You know, I don't think you're England captain for nothing. But she just everything she does is just class. She works really hard. She takes nothing for granted. She prepares well. And she comes and I know nobody can ever say Emily doesn't give 110% every week.
She seemed to have a real settling effort as well on this like left edge, just as it was starting to get a bit tasty at times.
Yeah, she does. I mean, I think that comes with a bit of experience. Obviously not getting carried away with the emotion. And you know, Rudge is a great leader as well, because we do have a lot of young girls in our team, what a lot of people forget about. So, she's a great leader and she always leads from the front.
So she scored 2 tries in the first half. In the second half, it was really the turn of Faye Gaskin to sort of take hold of the game, wasn't it? I thought she did that last 20 minutes especially.
Yeah, Faye's very clever. Really, really intelligent footballer, you know. Sometimes I wish she'd be on ball a little bit more. But Faye's great game management is unreal. And she really does set control, especially in them latter stages.
You mentioned there about some of the younger players that you've got. You've got a very young sort of wing centre pairing, sisters, getting it on the app there.
Yeah, definitely. Two league girls, actually. So for them today, getting another win over Wigan is absolutely amazing. But you know, the Burke sisters are really good. Leah's just been called into the England programme, which she well deserves. And you know, if Rihanna keeps working the way she is, I don't see why she can't get some sort of honours, you know.
It was a cracking try down this left-hand side as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, outstanding, yeah. She took it really well. And you know, week on week, Rihanna's growing in confidence. And that's all you can ask. The thing is with these youngsters, it's about getting game time. And you know, for me, if you're good enough, you're old enough. So,
13 games down, 1 to go in the league, and then it's on to the playoffs. How do you approach this next couple of weeks?
The next game's a bit of a dead rubber now, isn't it? You know, Castle get the league leader's shield. So it's a bit of a tough one, really, because it's probably one neither of us would want to play. For us, it's just about going about our business as usual. Trying to keep some continuity and working on them little things, you know, what we've come a little bit short on today. But for us, it's just about, again, progressing. Best defence in the league, I think, this year we've got. Testimony to our girls. So it's just about trying to work hard, because then when we get the big games like Leeds, I think it'll be Leeds here in the semi, we need to be ready.
And sometimes that's been the key, hasn't it? You know, those big games kind of like stack up, and certainly found it maybe in that semi-final. You owe them one, really.
Yeah, I'm not sure if we own one. We went to Headingley and beat them on their own turf, and then, you know, we played here last week, and to be fair, we had five regulars out. So for me, last week was like a win. You know, I know it was only a draw 20-all, but the performance was good, and we learnt a lot about our younger girls. So, you know, when we come to semi-final time, we just need to be ready at that moment in time. We come a little bit short in the semi-final last one, but hopefully we won't in this one.
You must be pleased with that progression and the number of players that you've now got knocking on the door of your squad.
Made up. One thing I said when I took this job at the beginning of the year is we need to have strength in depth, and I think that's one thing what the ladies' game was struggling with. You know, they weren't used to having two people going for the same position. Creating that squad, and then when somebody's injured, somebody steps up and does just as good a job. And for me now at this club, we're starting to get that. I would like to make a few more additions if possible, in the off season, and keep going from that. But for me, you know, it's about everybody competing for a jersey, not just 14, 15 girls.
Maybe a women's game, but I'll tell you what, Wigan Saints game, no matter what level you're playing at, you want to win it.
It was pretty intense, got to say that. Some great action on the field. There was even a sending off, by the way.
Was there?
Yeah, Gemma Walsh, the Wigan captain. She was sent off for apparent use of an elbow. I've got to admit,
I didn't know women were like that on the game of rugby. I thought they played it friendly.
Well, I've got to admit, I didn't see anything. But, you know, the young referee who took charge of his first game had an outstanding game.
Right.
And whatever that incident was happened right in front of him. So he was left with a little option there, I think, but to flash the card, so to speak, and reduce Wigan to 12 players. I've got to admit, over that last 20 minutes, when they were reduced to 12, they actually played some of the better rugby.
So how's the season looking for the women then?
It's been an outstanding season for Castleford. Castleford expecting to lift the trophy as league leaders with an expected victory against York City Knights. We've also seen Women of Steel nominees named. It was an award won by Georgia Roach last season. Kelsey Gentle was from Castleford, has carried on that Castleford tradition. Courtney Hill, who I spoke to around about semi-final time of the Challenge Cup, she's also got a nod as well. She's the playmaker at Leeds, a phenomenal player, great kicking game. And of course, the aforementioned Emily Rudge as well, who is just an outstanding second row. Runs perfect lines, punishing defence, and all three of them would be worthy winners of that tag.
Women of Steel. Like it.
And it's sponsored by the Telegraph this year, isn't it?
Other newspapers are available.
We've got to mention it, though, haven't we?
We have got to mention it, yeah.
Be remiss of us not to. It would also be remiss of us not to congratulate Leeds, who have also guaranteed themselves a playoff spot, and Wigan, who, despite losing by 28 points to nil, got in that top four by the result that happened over at Featherstone, who defeated Bradford 22-14. The previous week, I was also taking in some of the Women's Super League, and that was a brilliant game between Wigan and Bradford, finished 20 points each. And after that, I spoke with Alison Burrows.
Delighted to be joined by Alison Burrows. I'm speaking to you in the aftermath of what was a really compelling Betfair Women's Super League game, Bradford against Wigan, 20 points each. From your point of view, from a Wigan point of view, what do you feel about the game?
Yeah, I think fair play to Bradford. They came and they really, really made us struggle out there. It's a really competitive game. There's definitely going to be some sort of bodies in the morning. From us as a team, I think we've really put things together that we did in training, and really it showed on the pitch. It really came together, and we can only go forward from here. But it's a great game to be involved in, definitely.
It was ultra commitment from everybody, wasn't it? You could see with the tackles flying in. The quality of the try scored as well was something to behold, and it's something that I think more people should come down and watch Women's Super League.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think when people hear about the Women's Super League, they think the standard's not as good, but, like, I mean, you can hear the crowd every time there's a big hit, and they really feel it, and they really know it. It's just the same as watching a men's match. So it's a real good advert for the game, I think, that match. They could see what it's really about, and the skill level's up there, the hits are up there, and especially as a player on the pitch that feels them, like, it's a good standard, and I think people need to come and enjoy it for themselves.
It's been a bit of a mixed season as far as Wigan are concerned. You've had to cope with a changing coach during the season. Results have been a little bit up and down. But I get the feeling it's starting to come together. A couple of really good performances lately and this.
Yeah, I mean, we've got a few players coming back from injury now, which is obviously really helpful. And we've just really come together and got through a rough patch. And we've really started just going back to basics in training, really, and just putting it together on the pitch. I mean, we've always had the ability there. It's just the composure and getting it there on the pitch and showing people what we can do. And I think the last couple of games, definitely, like, we've calmed it down and we've really done what we need to be doing on the pitch.
Every time I meet someone different in rugby league, I ask about the background within the sport. So how did you get started in rugby league?
Yeah, so I actually started when I was in, like, under sixes. So I started at Haydock Warriors, so over in St Helens. I started going to the Wigan Warriors training camps, and that's how I became a Wigan fan. And then, because obviously I didn't have women's girls teams back then, so I started playing Union, and I saw the opportunity to come and play for Wigan, and that was it. It was like, I'm a fan of Wigan, so I thought it's the perfect opportunity to get back into the game.
So what was your Union experience then? Where was that at?
So I played at Liverpool St Helens, and I also represented North West England and North as well, under 15s and under 18s level.
So you must be quite pleased as well to get the chance to come back and play rugby league with your background.
Yeah, 100%, because obviously I've still always been a massive rugby league fan, so to be able to actually come and play it and come and represent the team that I've supported is, like, it's surreal. Like, it's something I never really thought would ever happen, and I know that that feeling shared across every team and all the girls when you speak to them.
I think also as well what this show is and the continued coverage is that women's rugby league is going places in this country.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you've only got to look at some of the attendances that, like, Castleford are pulling out. They got well over 1,000 a few games ago.
Good attendance down here today as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, great. Yeah, it's really good to see. Obviously, you can hear it only on the pitch. Like, you can hear the support as good things happen, so it's great. But yeah, I think it can only go from strength to strength. I think it's only going to get better.
So there was Alison. A background, you know, Adrian.
What's that, man?
You heard her talking. A background, playing for Haydock. She's one that crossed the divide.
Crossed the divide, eh?
Yeah.
She's a Gary Connolly.
But great to hear from her, and great to hear from Derek Hardman as well. I really appreciate them taking time to have a chat with us and really build what I think is fastly becoming the best women's Super League season so far. And interesting news in that there is the grand final that's going to be shown on Sky as well.
Just shows you the strides the women are making.
Certainly does, yeah. And why not? They've been entertaining all the way through the season. I mean, I know I've been a big advocate on this show, haven't I? I've even been trying to talk you down to a women's game, but your schedule hasn't quite allowed
not
it so
allowed
far.
Not allowed me to do that yet.
But next year, maybe.
I'll pencil one in.
Okay, what about the grand final? It's a good place to start.
Yeah, yeah, I'll take the grand final.
Right, I'll get your tickets, not to worry.
Okay, right, it's in the calendar. Right then, final round of Super League done and dusted. There were wins for Leeds against Warrington. Huddersfield got the best of Catalan Dragons. The showdown between Hokia and Sobble went down to the wire. Hokia winning that one, lost that one, sorry, 17-16, but still managed to survive. Wakefield were too good for London. London got relegated, losing that one, 19-10. St. Helens continued the domination of the league by defeating Hull FC, 22-6. And on Thursday, Wigan claimed second spot by defeating Castleford 26-8. And despite Tigers losing that game, they managed to leapfrog over Hope and then take the final playoff position.
Yeah, I think special mention in this round goes to Huddersfield Giants, Louis Senior. Scored 4 tries at the weekend, which is a great effort from him. Another great weekend as well for Tommy Makinson, who just seems to be getting better and better every single game. And even Leeds Rhinos coming up with a fantastic result. Kristen Inu continuing this brilliant form for Salford. Not only did he kick several goals in this one, 2 from 4, he came up with the winning drop goal too.
Is that right? Salford won 8 on the bounce now.
8 on the bounce, yeah.
Unbelievable that.
Wigan will be quaking in the boots, I'm sure they will. And also as well, Wakefield winning when it mattered. I watched this game and I thought that they had the edge on London throughout.
I think I agree with Danny Ward. It was a game too far for London. I think they were going to give themselves a better chance of surviving. Should have won that game against Leeds at home a couple of rounds ago.
Yeah, they did get swept aside in that particular game. But, I mean, let's be honest. They've done far better than me or you predicted at the start of the season. They've done far better than anybody's predicted.
Right, ahead of the playoffs, yeah, and they had the media scrum at Manchester on Monday. And our man Steve Manning made his way over to Old Trafford and he caught up with Wigan coach Adrian Lamb.
Job done other weekend to make sure that you got that second spot, but they certainly came to play the Tigers, didn't they?
Yeah, it was a tough game, you know, but I felt we weren't at our best in the first half. We made a lot of errors and gave away a lot of penalties, and when you do that, it's always going to be a close game. So we fixed it up in the second half and got the job done.
You were clinical, weren't you, in that opening 10 minutes, and then took control of it, and you got better, and they were resilient, but, you know, you got some more tries.
Yeah, I thought they had a good crack, really, on the weekend, Cass. You know, I think they'll give a good fight there against Warrington. At Warrington too, I believe that, you know, that'll be a cracker of a game. They show some good signs there, and but you know, I think regarding us, it was an opportunity for us to, and by making those errors, I felt that it gave us an opportunity to work on our defence, and that certainly held strong.
This game coming up now, the top three sides are finishing the top position and are on winning runs. They're 8 from 8, you're 11 from 12, and something's got to give. You must be happy that you've got the home advantage.
Yeah, we've earned that right, you know, but I know that they're a team coming to DW Stadium that's playing confident at the moment. They've won a lot of games in the last 8 weeks and against four of the top five teams, you know, Warrington twice. So, you know, they've earned that position. They've earned the right to do that. And, you know, it's going to be really tough. We're just going to make sure that we're focused. We play better than what we've done this year and take that next step up as a team.
And another one-man team. But how do you stop Jackson Hastings? Because all the fulcrum comes through him and he's a half-back partner there.
Yeah, look, it's, you know, they're working hard with him as a team. And you know, he's a handful. He's I think he's number three in the carries, most meters gained. That's more than a forward. So it just shows how often he gets involved. So, you know, I know he'll come there wanting to have a good performance. But, you know, the focus really isn't on Jackson for us. It's on ourselves.
Just finally, you've got that secret weapon who, when he gets a standing start, he can just blitz everybody in Bevan French.
Yeah, no, we're looking forward to where we fit him in, whether he comes off the bench or whether he starts on the wing, or even at fullback. We'll make that decision during the week, but he is an X factor, and we're looking forward to him, you know, being involved throughout this finals program.
Adrian Lamb's done a tremendous job, hasn't he?
He has the second half of the season. I think people must have been calling for his head at the start.
Yes.
But fortunately, Wigan are a little bit more patient, shall we say, than Leeds, who dispensed with David Ferner's services.
I think once he got the mess of, is Sean Edwards going to be the coach? Is he not? Once he got that out of the way and gave it Adrian Lamb on a permanent basis, I think the players settled down and bought into what Adrian Lamb wanted to set out for the Warriors, and the performances have improved off the back of that. They are the champions. They're in second spot. Don't rule them out to make it all the way to Old Trafford.
No. It's really like Wigan at your peril, isn't it?
It is.
Despite everything that's been written or everything I may have said or you may have said about Wigan over the course of the season, they've got enough champion players in their side, haven't they? And, you know, two or three really young bucks that are starting to come through and ruffle a few feathers, it must be said. So, you know, you're right. Right, Wigan off at your peril. They're coming to get Saints, aren't they?
The playoffs start this weekend. It's boom or bust. Warrington take on Castleford on Thursday. On Friday, Wigan and Salford play off for the right to play St Helens. Wow.
I don't know.
What would you rather do?
I don't know whether that's much of a reward, to be honest, is it?
No,
I'd sooner play the winner of Warrington and Castleford next week.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see who comes out. I'm going to put my neck on the line here. I'm going to say Castleford and I'm going to say Wigan.
Yeah, I think you've got to fancy Wigan because of their big game mentality. I would love it to be the other way about, in all fairness, because I think the job that Ian Watson's done there at Salford is superb. You know, we've heard that again. They're another side that doesn't have a lot of money. They've got players who are going elsewhere at the end of the season, but yet he's got some real good consistency out of him over this last couple of months. In fact, if you look, they're almost exact opposite form to what Warrington have put together, aren't they? But yeah, Wigan and Salford, two in-form sides, two, I suppose, bang average form sides at the moment in Cass and Warrington.
I thought Castleford were pretty poor against Wigan in the final round, to be honest, but they can't play any worse than that, surely. Warrington, they've not played well since the Cup semi in the final. I noticed Steve Price is bigging that up by hoping the Cup form will return for what he calls the start of another tournament, because basically now for Warrington, it is a Cup competition, isn't it?
Yeah, they're going to have to win, and win. And if they do that, then they win the championship, don't they, when all's said and done. So, but that's easier said than done as well, to be fair.
It is.
I just can't see Warrington putting it together at the moment.
I can't.
Got to be honest with you. I think that they've peaked. And surely with it still coming such a short space after Wembley, they're still celebrating.
We've heard from Adrian Lamb, who spoke to our man Steve Manning. He caught up with the big boss, the big high chief of the Super League. The chief executive, Robert Elston.
Can you give me your lottery numbers for next week? Because the way you sorted that final week was surreal.
Well, you've nailed it, because it is about picking lottery numbers. And, you know, let's be really honest about it. We couldn't have scripted it better, but B, we definitely didn't script it. It was down to a lot of good fortune and the gods working in our favour to make sure we had, four teams that could have gone down on that Friday night. Now, yeah, we did make the fixture list a bit cleaner and change things around a bit, but you know, it wasn't in any way premeditated that it finished like that. But it made for a dramatic final weekend, didn't it? But it was a fitting climax to, I think, what's been a pretty good regular season. But it's also, you know, maybe just whetted the appetite for what's to come, which is, you know, the attention turns from the bottom four to the top five, and that's what it is all about. You know, we stood here at Old Trafford in October the 12th, this place will be on fire with the best two teams in Super League. So, you know, our attention focuses to that and that journey, which starts this weekend.
Well, you must be more than pleased, you know, when you came in last year and then all the change you made, the controversy and everything. It's been, I suppose it's been as smooth as you could have anticipated, but a few rocks in the middle.
Yeah, no, listen, I think we've had a good first season. I'm always hard on myself. I'm always demanding on myself. I always want more and more quicker. But I think we have made some good progress. And if you actually sit back and look at what we've changed and what we've delivered, then most of that's worked particularly well, whether it be, you know, the fixture list, whether it be the fixture formatting, whether it be Man of Steel, whether it be Easter, rule changes. So there's a number of things that I think have done well. I think the most important thing, of course, is to keep momentum building, to make sure that rolls into 2020 with more, you know, new initiatives, things that are going to help make the Super League even better. So, you know, that's on our agenda right now. So we can't rest on our laurels. You know, we're a sport that absolutely needs to work phenomenally hard to get profile and attention, but, you know, it won't fail for lack of effort, that's for sure.
First season as the chief exec, how do you feel he's done, Parky?
I think he could have done better at the job.
All right, okay.
I think he's ruffled a few feathers up, hasn't he, regards to TV coverage. You know, all of a sudden, Catalan don't have a TV deal next season. They wanted to scrutinise Toronto's books and look, when it seemed like Toronto were in a good shape to get promoted, had they won that final last year. So what's changed in 12 months? I don't know. David Argyle is still there with his money.
He is.
They've got a new chief executive who's a very experienced operator. I suppose if you're looking at it from a more insular point of view, though, he's done well with regards to those top clubs, haven't they? We've had some fantastic gates over the course of the season, and I'm sure it's given him plenty to think about. But I just think we're too small a game, to be honest, to have two chief executive officers running it.
Confusing one for me, that one is, but hey, Super League is Super League, and we've had the big splits. Very friendly split, it's got to be said.
A very friendly split?
Yeah.
Don't go saying that in Bradford.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's Bradford's problem, isn't it? But yeah, it's been a bit of a friendly split between the RFL and the Super League clubs. I suppose my take on it, he's done okay in his first season, but we can only judge him if he gets a better TV deal after 2021.
And that's the thing. Is he going to go in just wanting a TV deal for Super League? Or is
Looks
he going to go in?
That's the general consensus in the talk amongst our fellow rugby league journalists.
Or is he going to go in batting for the rest of the game? Because I think that we deserve something for the rest of the game as well.
Yeah, true.
We can't just live off scraps. And let's be honest, if you took the money out of Super League, then it'd only be the Championship clubs you'd have left, because they're used to operating with not much budget, aren't they?
The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter with Adrian Jackson and David Parkinson.
We're in the final month of the season, Parky.
Wow. It's gone, hasn't it?
Yes. Enjoyed every minute of it. The ride's been great, and we've still got a few more twists and spins and whatever on the
twists
way.
Twists and spins.
On the way between now and grand final and championship final showdowns, haven't we?
We have. We've got grand finals coming out of our ears, haven't we, coming up?
We're all grand finaled out by October the 13th when it's all done and dusted.
We certainly will.
And just when you think the guys can have a bit of a rest, they've got to go down New Zealand and play New Zealand, Tonga and Papua New Guinea.
Yeah, there is that. And also
Chris Hill won't like that, will he?
Also playing in the World Nines as well. That's coming up, isn't it? We've seen a couple of squads that have already been announced for that competition. Wales, for example, have announced 23-man squad for the World Nines.
All right, okay. That'd be interesting to watch that one. Anyhow, as always, Rugby League have named the Dream Team. Different format this year. Instead of players voting for the favourite and best player of the season, this one was put to a panel headed by Eri Anley. Voted on a 3-2-1 system throughout the season. We got to find out who was named in the Dream Team for 2019.
We did. Shall I go through that?
Go on, go through them.
At fullback, Lachlan Coote of St Helens. Yeah. Wingers, Tommy Makinson of St Helens and Ash Handley of Leeds. Centres, Kevin Naguama, St Helens and Conrad Harrell of Leeds Rhinos. Halfbacks, Blake Austin of Warrington and Jackson Hastings of Salford. Forwards, in the front row, Liam Watts of Castleford, Daryl Clark of Warrington and Luke Thompson of St Helens. And a back row that features Josh Jones of Salford, Liam Farrell of Wigan and Morgan Knowles of St Helens.
One name that surprised me to be in there, Conrad Harrell.
Yeah, I would go a little bit further than that. I would love to have seen a Niall Evelds in there, but if they've thought that he's mainly been playing a lot at fullback, then he's not going to display Lachlan Coote, but I think he's a better winger than Ash Handley.
One name that really surprised me not to be there was Jake Truman.
And another name that really surprised me of not being there, because Truman's been excellent. This guy I'm going to mention, I think, has been phenomenal this year. Johnny Lomax.
Yeah, the Lomax.
The Lomax has been in supreme form. He's actually had Blake Austin in his pocket a couple of times this year as well.
Mm.
So, disappointed that he's not made the cut. Also, a little bit disappointed that Morgan Knowles is in there. Not that I have anything against Morgan Knowles, by the way. He is a very good workhorse and workman-like player. But are we that short of back rowers?
Must be.
We must be. Mm.
We don't have loose forwards anymore, do we?
We don't, no. Not quite often it's a prop forward who's in there.
Yeah.
So, Knowles is a good player, but, you know, is he outstanding? I don't know.
He's been all right for Saints, hasn't he?
Oh, he has, I suppose. You've taught me round.
The playoff started for the Championship and League One starts for Super League this weekend, and we'll talk all about it in the next Final Hooter on loverugbyleague.com.
Keeping you up to date with everything Rugby League, this is the Final Hooter on Radio General.